Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you." He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." The Gospel of the Lord. Have you ever noticed that "who am I" is a common, recurrent question, never answered once and for all? It keeps popping up, especially at major turns in our life. We answer it with, I would say, partial truths, like, "I'm a wife and mother," or "I work for so-and-so." It is often in relation to others that we define ourselves. But it's a moving target, isn't it? A child leaves the nest, a spouse or best friend dies, and then we ask again, "Who am I exactly?" Isn't there some central core we can depend on at all times and forever after? In this passage, Jesus asks, "Who do people say that I am?" Jesus doesn't ask this for his own edification so much as for Peter's. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Peter says. "What a great revelation," Jesus responds. "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father." Peter had been a mere friend and follower of Jesus. But in this instant of revelation, he changes, and Jesus calls him blessed. This doesn't mean Peter had it all together all of a sudden. As we see later in this very same gospel, when Jesus calls him Satan. But I would dare say that with this revelation directly from God, Peter probably knew, or was pretty close to knowing, what he would be doing for the rest of his life. Life had new meaning, although the human details of how things would proceed might be unclear. I think Peter's example can be a guide to the question, "Who am I?" We too can be friends with Christ through Scripture, studying his life and praying. Then if we listen closely, we too can receive a revelation, or many revelations, as Peter did. What if we devote our lives to this possibility, putting Jesus at our core, our center, and find out? What can we lose? Thomas Merton's classic, New Seeds of Contemplation, speaks of this challenge. He says, "To work out our own identity in God, which the Bible calls working out our salvation, is a labor that requires sacrifice and anguish, risk and many tears. It demands close attention to reality at every moment and great fidelity to God as He reveals Himself obscurely in the mystery of each new situation. So it appears that a Christian identity doesn't just happen like a bolt out of the blue. Like Peter, we must work at it. And if we listen carefully, revelations will come. As Merton adds, quote, "But unless I desire this identity and work to find it with Him and in Him, the work will never be done."